Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Last week, we didn't have any episodes, but we are back this week. I want to get us caught up on the subject matter of battlefield of the mind. I told you guys, I want to say not in the last episode that we had, that I had some family situations that were taking priority. My father-in-law had surgery last week. And so it was just a lot to make sure that, you know, my husband had the freedom to be there. Of course, I want to be there. So just making sure the kids were taken care of, business stuff was taken care of. And, you know, just had to really serve my family, and everything else had to just take a back seat for a moment. But we back. We are back. My father-in-law is well. Praise the Lord. He is doing phenomenally, actually. And God just continues, man, in life to just show how good He is. And I'm just so grateful for the way God just continues to show up, not just in business, but in life and family and all of the things. Now, this week, again, I want to catch up on some chapters from Battlefield of the Mind, because we're a little behind on that. And these chapters have been blessing me. Y'all know I don't like to come on here and just run my mouth. I want to make sure I've thoroughly read the chapters and we can discuss them for real and not just skimming through anything, because this book is just, it's just that good. So whether you are reading it with us or not, stick around, because these messages are still relevant to you. If you are new here and you want to pick up and read with us, we are reading Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. We've already covered chapters 1-7. And now this week we are picking up on chapter 8. And I think this week I'll also do one extra episode so that we can cover chapter 9, and then I can cover a full episode on a topic that God gave me recently. Also, before we hop in, I just want to say that I am praying for everybody in Baltimore. I'm recording this on Tuesday, March 26th, and in the middle of the night, the Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed. They said that it was an accident. A ship ran into the bridge and they're still investigating. But nevertheless, my heart goes out to all the families of those who lost their lives, all that are involved. Like, and of course, the state of Maryland. I'm a Maryland girl. I born and raised and currently live closer to the DC side, but I went to undergrad at Morgan State University in Baltimore. So Baltimore definitely has a special place in my heart. And besides that, just as a believer, my heart breaks. My heart breaks. And I am praying for everybody that has been impacted. I'm praying for Maryland. I'm also praying for the United States, because this is not just a state local issue. This is an international issue. And Yeah, I'll just leave it there. I am praying. And again, if this has impacted you and you listen to the show, my heart goes out to you. And I pray that God gives you peace and clarity and wisdom during this time. So picking up with the book, we are finished with part one of Battlefield of the Mind. So the first seven chapters were all about the importance of the mind and really just setting the stage for why this battle is one that we need to recognize, the attacks of the enemy on this battlefield, and just really letting us know how important it is that we engage in this fight. Now, the second part is all about the conditions of the mind. And in the introduction for this second part, she really just sets the tone of, is the way that my mind is normal? What does normal mean? She goes to say, have you noticed that the condition of your mind changes? One time you may be calm and peaceful, the other time anxious and worried. Or you may make a decision and be sure about it, then later find that your mind is in a confused condition concerning the very thing that you were previously so clear and certain about. I don't know about y'all, but that has been me. One moment I'm like, okay, I know that this is God. I'm moving in this direction. And then doubt creeps in. I'm like, was that really God? Was that me? Now I'm confused. I was sure, but I don't know. I thought I had peace, but now I'm worried. Like I feel like we all have been there. I know I have personally. And so she talks about that. And she says that because it seems that the mind can be in so many different conditions, I began to wonder, when is my mind normal? I wanted to know what normal was so that I can learn to deal with the abnormal thinking patterns immediately upon their arrival. And I love that she talks about this in the introduction, because essentially what she's trying to do is establish a baseline. Because normal for us may not be appropriate for how our minds should be as believers. So it may be normal for you to be anxious and worried. It may be normal for you to be skeptical. It may be normal for you to be critical and judgmental or suspicious. That may be normal for you, but that's not necessarily the normal mind of a believer. Joyce says in the book, our minds are not born again with a new birth experience. They have to be renewed, according to Romans 12 and 2. As I've said several times, the renewal of the mind is a process that requires time. Do not be devastated even if you read the next part of this book and discover that most of the time your mind is in a condition that is abnormal for someone claiming Christ as Savior. Recognizing the problem is the first step towards recovery. Now, remember, when I first read this book, this was years ago, I had just got saved. And I was in the space where I realized, like, okay, I'm saved, but the condition of my mind is not lining up with a lot of the behaviors or the instructions that the word says. The condition of my mind that's normal for me is anxiety, it's overthinking, it's control. It's being hypercritical. It's being too analytical. And that works sometimes. But if I am analyzing something so much to where I am not trusting God, to where my logic outweighs that my faith, then it becomes an issue. So the condition of my mind, again, there are some natural things about it that God has used for his benefit. But it takes a conscious effort for me to allow my mind to continuously be transformed, because if I'm not paying attention to it, if I'm not thinking about what I'm thinking about, as we've talked about in this book, then I can easily go into walking by my flesh and not by the Spirit. And so I love that Joy sets this foundation for the second part of the book of, let's discover the baseline. Let's define what the baseline is. Now that we already understand the importance of the mind, let's talk about what the mind should be so that we can get to work on renewing our mind and making it fit to what it should be as believers. So she starts off chapter 8 with that question, when is my mind normal? Setting this baseline. And she starts it with Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, which are rich in glorious inheritance. So Joyce says to notice that Paul prays that you and I will gain wisdom by having the eyes of our heart enlightened. She says, based on several things I have studied, I describe the eyes of the heart as the mind. I found this connection to be quite interesting because I never really thought about that. Like if I was to read Ephesians 1, 17 to 18 for myself, I never would really connect the eyes of our heart with our mind. And this is why I just want to point this note out. This is why it's important for those of you guys who God has graced with certain revelations where God has shown certain things and he has graced you to operate in a certain gifting in a certain area. Why it's important? Because the text is so, it has so much depth. The text, his word is a living word. There's so much to be revealed. You can read the same scripture over and over again. It gets something different because of the Holy Spirit that's guiding us in all truth that indwells on the inside of us. And so someone like Joyce, who is called to minister the gospel and who is specifically given the assignment to write a book like this, a book that has been out for decades, a book that has been translated to so many different languages. This book is not just some regular book. This is a piece of literature that I believe is God breathed, and I feel like the fruit of this book speaks to that. And again, I would have never made this connection, but the Holy Spirit was able to reveal this connection through her, and she's able to communicate that through us. And so this is a gift or something that's not just relevant to Joyce, but the same Holy Spirit that operated in her, for her to be able to write this text, for her to be able to highlight certain things like this mind, what is it called? This mind spirit principle that she described, the same way he reveals those things and makes those connections in her is the same way that he's trying to make some connections in you. So I don't know who this is for, but some of you are downplaying what God is revealing to you. You're downplaying the assignment that you have. You're downplaying how effective what he's showing you can be. But let this be a testament to what can happen when you just, and I'm going to use some slang here, let the Holy Spirit cook. Like when you just let him reveal things and then you do your part of writing it, recording it, videotaping it, drawing it, whatever it is your gifting lies, man, when you just operate in it fully, it could bring so much more revelation to other people. So I just found just this one little nugget in the book, crazy enough, this wasn't even about that. But the fact that she connected that to this mind spirit principle was amazing to me. And again, it's just a foundation of so much more revelation that has been that's to come through the book. But nevertheless, let's go back to the text. Another part that I have highlighted here, it says, and I'll start from the top, since the Holy Spirit, when a person receives Christ as his personal savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in him. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Just as a person's own spirit within him is the only one to know his thoughts, so the Spirit of God is the only one who knows the mind of God. Since the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and since he knows the mind of God, one of his purposes is to reveal to us God's wisdom and revelation. That wisdom and revelation is imparted to our spirit, and our spirit then enlightens the eyes of our heart, which is our mind. The Holy Spirit does this so that we can understand on a practical level what is being ministered to us spiritually. She goes on to say, as believers, we are spiritual and we are also natural. Therefore, it is vitally necessary for our minds to be enlightened concerning what is going on in our spirits. The Holy Spirit desires to bring us enlightenment, but the mind often misses what the spirit is attempting to reveal because it is too busy. A mind that is too busy is abnormal. The mind is normal when it is at rest, not blank, but at rest. And this really made me check myself because I feel like lately, personally, my mind has been very busy. And if I really reflect over the last week or so, I feel like because my mind has been busy, my mood has been a little off, and I feel like I have not been as spiritually sensitive as I usually am. And I love God because, again, I've been doing a lot this past week with family stuff. So I was delayed in catching up on this chapter. But just as I was kind of decompressing from the last week and really just a little annoyed with myself because there were certain things that I wanted to do, certain things in my word I wanted to dive into. There's another book that I just got that I really wanted to dive into. And I feel like I have been slacking in some type of way. And what God was revealing to me that was confirmed when I started reading this chapter was that it is the enemy's agenda to keep our minds busy. Because if our mind can be fixated on everything we have going on, all the information that we're ingesting on the day to day, then our mind is not open to the Holy Spirit. It's not paying attention to the messages that God is trying to give us through His Spirit. And she even goes on to say the Holy Spirit gives information from God to the person's spirit. And if his spirit and mind are aiding one another, then he can walk in divine wisdom and revelation. So rewording this for a second, the Holy Spirit gives information from God to us. And if our spirit and our mind are working together as they should, then we can walk in divine wisdom and revelation. But if our mind is too busy, it will miss what the Lord is attempting to reveal to us through His Spirit. This made me think about something. I believe there's a huge mistake that a lot of us make as believers to where we are only looking for revelation for things that we have identified that we need revelation on. But God is not limited to our requests. There are things that God is trying to show us, wisdom that He is trying to give us, warnings that He is trying to give us that we cannot conceive or think about on our own. But it's through the Spirit that He's trying to get those things to us. So not only are we blocking answers that we're actually asking, but we're also blocking the opportunity for God to reveal even more to us when we allow our minds to be so busy. There have been so many times where I've been praying for people. And Joyce actually talks about this a bit further on in a chapter where she may be praying for things that she knows about, and then the Spirit will reveal things that she didn't know about for her to pray for. I've experienced that many of times. I think I actually just told y'all a few weeks ago how I was praying for my friend Raven and things that she was doing, and I was just praying about what I knew. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me other things and then messages that I needed to relay to her. And that happens all the time. So if we just box ourselves in to where we're only seeking God for specific things or what we're mindful of, we are living limited lives as believers. We just don't want to walk in the fullness of what we understand. We want to and should want to walk in the supernatural. And that comes from things that we don't understand. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. And we are able to take heed to or recognize and understand and hear and receive when we put our mind in the condition that it needs to be in, which is at rest. And again, she says, not blank, but at rest. Joyce refers to it as a condition that is conducive to hearing.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
And when I read this, I really just checked myself. What is keeping me from a condition that is conducive to hearing? What is it? And for me personally, if I'm being honest, is because something that keeps me in a condition that, or keeps me from being in a condition that's conducive to hearing, is all of the information that I take in on a day to day. So whether I am on TikTok, I might be looking for something to do with the kids. So like right now, we're getting ready to have spring break. So I'm looking for things to do with the kids during the day. So I'm on TikTok looking at certain activities I can do with both my 10-month-old and my 3-year-old. And of course, that leads you down a rabbit hole of all that's going on. So I'd have found out about the Quiet on the Set documentary with Nickelodeon. So then I go watch that. Then I'm watching that. Like, let me see what people talking about. So then I get on TikTok to see the commentary. I like to watch The Bachelor and Love is Blind and all these love reality shows. And so I'm watching these things on TV. And then I'll go to social media and see, okay, what are people tweeting about? What are the TikToks about? I'm messaging friends and all of that. And so again, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. However, when I go to places like social media, if I'm being frank, it just draws me in. So now not only that I found the recipe or the activity I was looking for my kids, not only did I watch some commentary on my shows, now I'm down a rabbit hole of what's going on here, who, what happened with this person, not even just celebrities, but just people that are just telling all of their business and they draw you in. Now you don't watch 50 parts in 20 hours of somebody else's story and have busied up your mind with so much clutter that you're not hearing the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to just check yourself and really evaluate where you are spending your mental space. What is keeping you from creating or keeping your mind in a condition that's conducive to hearing? Maybe it's not the information overload from the online world. Maybe it's the emotion that you may feel about XYZ. I don't know. But I would suggest that you do some type of internal self-evaluation and do this in prayer. And matter of fact, let me just give you an assignment. Do this in prayer. So I want you to go into prayer, start with worship. Just clear your mind and set the tone for you worshiping the Lord and say, God, show me the ways that is keeping me from having my mind in a condition that is conducive to hearing you. Pray against any attacks of the enemy in that moment to make you confused, to make you second guessed if you're hearing God. Just go ahead already and claim the authority that you have over the enemy and his devices. Ask God that question and then listen. Write down every single thing that you're hearing, everything. And God will show you. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you. He will put that mirror up to you. It may not be pretty. Be 100 with you. It may not be pretty. God has shown me a lot about myself. And it has definitely, most of the time, not been pretty. But when he corrects, he does so in love. It doesn't make us feel shameful in any type of way. But he does it with such love and compassion and tenderness, the way that a parent should. So that's your assignment. I want you to do that this week. Joyce went on to talk about the spirit and the mind. She quoted 1 Corinthians 14 through 15, and it says, "Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind and understanding." She says, perhaps a better way to understand this principle of mind aiding spirits is to think of prayer. In this verse, Apostle Paul said that he prayed both with his spirit and with his mind. I understand what Paul is talking about because I do the same thing. I frequently pray in the spirit, which is an unknown tongue. So speaking in tongues, after I have prayed that way for a while, often something will come to mind to pray in English. I believe in this way, the mind aids the spirit. They work together to get the knowledge and wisdom of God to me in a way that I can understand it. This also works in the reverse. There are times when I want to pray, so I make myself available to God for prayer. If there is no particular stirring in my spirit, I simply begin to pray out of my mind. I pray about the issues or situations that I am aware of. Sometimes these prayers seem really flat. There's no help coming from my spirit. I seem to be struggling, so I go on to something else that I already know about. I continue this in this fashion until the Holy Spirit within me takes hold with me on some issue. When he does, then I know that I've hit on something that he wants me to pray about, not just something that I am trying to pray about. In this way, my mind and my spirit are working together, aiding one another in accomplishing the will of God. This made me think that a part of us making sure that we are conditioned to, or creating a condition that is conducive to hearing, is making sure that we are actively engaging the spirit. So making sure that we have an active prayer life. And I know for me personally, again, there are times that I've talked about on the show where I might be driving and I say, okay, instead of listening to the podcast or a podcast, or instead of listening to something on a radio or whatever, I'm going to just pray. And even if I don't know what to pray, I just drive and speak in tongues. And as I'm speaking in tongues, something will come to mind that I need to pray about, and then I'll pray. And then as I'm praying in English for that thing, something else will come to mind. And I do that often, and I've gotten podcast episodes from that, business ideas from that, things that I need to recognize within my children, things that my husband might need for me that he hasn't communicated to me yet. God may show me things about my family. He may show me things that I need to pray about. It may be things going on in the world that I need to pray against. Like, there's just so much that happens in that engagement. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. And what I love about this book is it emphasizes the importance of fixing our mind on the Lord in the day to day, not just when we're in our prayer closet, not just when we're at church, but constantly thinking about our thoughts, taking captive what doesn't belong, and re-anchoring our minds in the Lord, in his truth, and allowing ourselves to be open and sensitive to the Spirit. And another way that you can engage the spirit on a day to day is just thinking about him. I told you before how sometimes if I'm playing with my sons, I'll just be looking at them and I'm just thanking God for how beautiful they are, for the fact that I didn't even know if this would be a reality for me. And then here they are, like even in the midst of my son saying, "Mommy, mommy, mommy," 1,000 times a day. I'm just grateful that there is a human. There are humans who utter those words and they're talking to me, when that was just a tear on my prayer journal for quite some time. So even as I'm thinking about the goodness of God and being aware of his grace in the day to day, he will begin to reveal more things to me. I mean, he's revealed some things to me about the future of my family that I'm like, okay, as of lately, I'm like, okay, God, not my will. It's a little scary, but not my will. You know, I'm down for whatever. So that's another way that you can engage the spirit so that you can welcome in this wisdom and put your mind in the condition to hear is by thinking about him, thinking about his goodness, thinking about just the amazing things that he has done. Just thinking about, even now I'm recording this, it's Holy Week, thinking about the sacrifice, just really thinking about it and putting yourself in remembrance of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Like just thinking about the journey of Jesus this week and really internalizing that, forcing yourself to watch a movie like The Passions of Christ, force yourself to watch a show like The Chosen, to where you're really putting yourself in the Gospels. And through that, I believe the Spirit will give you wisdom and revelation beyond what you may be able to articulate or what you may know that you need. He'll be able to give you wisdom beyond that. The last part I want to highlight here before we wrap up is a section that she calls peaceful alert mind. She quotes Isaiah 26:3, which says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you." I highlighted here, she says, "I hope you can readily see from this example that your mind and your spirit certainly do work together, and the two are closely linked to one another. Therefore, it is of utmost importance that your mind be maintained in a normal condition," which of course means fixed on the Lord. "Otherwise, it cannot aid you or aid your spirit in helping you live a spirit-filled life." Satan, of course, knows this fact, so he attacks your mind, waging war against you on the battlefield of your mind. He wants to overload you and overwork your mind by filling with every kind of wrong thought so that it cannot be free and available to the Holy Spirit working through your own human spirit. The mind should be kept peaceful. As the prophet Isaiah tells us, when the mind is stayed on the right things, it will be at rest. Yet the mind should also be alert. This becomes impossible when it is loaded down with things it was never intended to carry. And she says, she ends the chapter by saying, think it over. How much of the time is your mind normal? So I ask you, based off of everything that we've discussed, how much of the time is your mind normal? Can I tell you that when I'm not actively engaging the spirit, when I'm not forcing my mind to be focused on the Lord, because again, Isaiah 26:3 tells us he will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him and all whose thoughts are fixed on him. So you can't have your thoughts fixed on God and not be in perfect peace. So the absence of peace is a huge indicator of the condition of your mind. So that's it for this episode. I hope you all have enjoyed this episode and this chapter. Again, if you don't have the book, go get it. The link is in the show notes. Next episode, we'll be talking about chapter 9. I love you guys. Leave us a 5-star review if this has blessed you, and I'll see you in the next one.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.